Sannipatastvaham iti. Mamedyudhavayamati. Vyavahara sannipato. Mano matrendriya shubhi. Sannipatastvaham iti. Mamedyudhavayamati. Vyavahara sannipato. Mano matendriya. Mano matrendriya yasubhi. Sannipatastvaham iti. Mamedyudhava yamati. Vyavahara sannipato. Mano matrendya dya mano matrendya shubhi. The combination of the modes, to and aham iti, I, mama iti, mine, udhava, o udhava, ya, which, mati, mentality, vyavahara, ordinary activities, sannipata, the combination, mana, by the mind, matra, the objects of perception, indriya, the senses, ashubhi, and the vital airs. My dear Uddhava, the combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. The ordinary transactions of this world, which are carried out through the agency of the mind, the objects of perception, the senses, and the vital airs of the physical body are also based on the combination of the modes. Purport. The illusory concept of I and mine occurs by the mixture of the three modes of nature. A person in goodness may feel, I am peaceful. One in passion may think, I am lusty. And one in ignorance may think, I am angry. Similarly, one may think, my peace, my lust, or my anger. One completely absorbed in the mentality of being peaceful could not work in the material world. He would lack any impulse to perform activity. Similarly, one absorbed in lust would be blinded without at least a tinge of peacefulness or restraint. One overwhelmed with anger could not function properly in the material world without the mixture of other qualities. Thus we find that a material mode does not occur in a pure isolated form, but rather is mixed with other modes, thereby making possible normal functioning within this world. Ultimately, one should think, I am the eternal servant of Lord Krishna, and my only possession is loving service to the Lord. This is the pure state of consciousness beyond the material modes of nature. Om Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurumilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Jutapadakamalam, Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajataham, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sarvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padaham Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Akanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vamsat Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 25, entitled The Three Modes and Beyond, Text Number 6. The Uddhava Gita wherein Lord Sri Krishna is instructing the world for all time to come through his intimate friend Uddhava. Is very much a culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Interesting, the very culmination is the 10th canto, wherein Krishna's transcendental lila or pastimes are performed. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the explanation, philosophy of this material world, how it works, the nature of the soul, the nature of the supreme cause of all causes is described. And there are explanations of the Lord coming in different forms at different times to perform different pastimes, the avatars. Ete chang sakala pungsha krishnas tu bhagavan swaya. But of all these incarnations, Krishna is the complete whole, the fullest, the origin of all other incarnations. Although all of the avatars explained are Krishna, none different than Krishna, they are aspects, they reveal, Krishna reveals in these different incarnations various aspects of himself. But when he comes in his original form, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, he reveals his full, complete opulences, wherein all other avatars are included. The 10th canto, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj the beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna. And here in the 11th canto, Krishna is explaining the essential truths to Uddhava. And like the Bhagavad Gita, both of these texts, Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita, were spoken to a dear, loving, surrendered friend of Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand this message because you are my devotee and you are my friend. And beyond Arjuna even is Uddhava, who is a very best friend of Krishna. Such a best friend that Krishna sent him to Vrindavan to become a disciple of the love of the Brijabasis and to witness the deep ecstatic love of the gopis and Sri Radha. Such a friend. Herein we find an entire chapter dedicated to describing the three modes of material nature. How they affect us, why they affect us, and how to go beyond them. We find in Bhagavad Gita so much explanation of the nature of the modes of nature.
Mam chayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samadhityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate.
Krishna tells when one actually comes to the platform of spiritual realization, Brahman, one transcends the modes of nature. In that state, he engages in my loving service. So how? How to transcend the modes of material nature? Like a physician. A physician tries to understand and diagnose the problem, not only by the symptoms, but why it's happening. Because when we understand why it's happening, then we can actually create a sustainable cure. Just like recently I met Madhava Prabhu, who was this illustrious son of Prem Leela and Adi Keshav Prabhu. And he's a physiotherapist. And I showed him how something was happening on my foot, and he diagnosed it's because of something in your spine, and this is how to fix it. So for an ordinary person, you try to fix the foot. And you could get some relief, but unless you go to the root cause, you can't really make a sustainable cure. So I'm not going to go any further into that particular discussion. But the same principle is there. Why is Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, in Uddhava Gita, describing so carefully the three modes of material nature?
Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimutaha kartaham iti manyate.
The spirit soul, bewildered by the ahankar, the false ego, thinks himself to be the doer of activities, where in actuality they're being carried out by nature. Specifically, the interaction of the three modes of material nature. This whole material existence is explained in this chapter. That there's Krishna, Ishvara, who creates everything. And as His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was telling us yesterday, the very origin of this creation is where the Mahatattva expands from Krishna's energy. And the Pradhana, the very potential form of material energy, is there. Containing all the material elements, the three modes of material nature, time, but it's all in a completely inactive state. Until Karuna Dakshayi Vishnu glances upon it. Through that glance, he invokes Kala, or time. And that time factor activates the gunas, the three modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when they begin to interact with one another, all the varieties of creation are awakened and expanded. So the three modes of material nature is the basis of existence within this material world. But what is the basis of the problem we're all facing? Because Krishna tells in Gita, Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashashtanindriyani prakriti stani karishati. We're part and parcel of Krishna. Najayate mriyate vakadachyat. The soul is unborn, it never dies, it's primeval, it's eternal.
So how is it that an eternal part of Krishna, with the potential to love Krishna, Satyananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, how is it that we are being bound by the ropes of these ever-changing influences of the modes of nature and forced to suffer and enjoy and ultimately die and reborn again and again and again? Ahankara. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya. Ahankara vimudatma karatyam. Because we're bewildered by the false ego. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. This idea that I am this body and I am the particular identities and characteristics of this body, a particular race, a particular sex, a particular religion, a particular social status. When we're thinking, I am this, that is illusion. It's the basis of ignorance. Because when we think, I am this body, then mamati, this is mine. And that's the cause of all conflict within this world. I'm thinking this is mine, and you are thinking this is yours. So potentially there can be envy. Srila Prabhupada explains the very root of material bondage is very much when the manifestation of envy takes place. Because when we forget our true spiritual nature as Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that we're eternal servants of Krishna, then we think in terms of I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, and I am the controller. In the very heart of the Bhagavad Gita is the verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samagata. Krishna tells, I am the source of all material and spiritual world. Everything emanates from me. The definition of wisdom is we know this and we engage in his loving service. This is the basis of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami and to the world. The very essence of all the knowledge of all the Vedic literatures. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We're servants of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme proprietor, controller, and enjoyer. And when we forget that, then we put ourselves in the center of our ambitions in life, pleasing the false ego instead of pleasing Krishna. And as soon as we come under that influence of the false ego, then immediately and forever, as long as we're under this influence, we are bound by the three modes of nature. Krishna is telling Uddhava in this verse that it is this, the combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. But how to raise above this? Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have told that the literary incarnation of Krishna, Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled the great Vedic literatures, the four Vedas, the Upanishads, the Itihastas, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutra, and ultimately the culmination of everything he did was the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Within these 18 Puranas, six are to rise people from the mode of ignorance. Six are to lift people up from the mode of passion. And six are to lift people from the mode of goodness to the transcendental platform. And basically, throughout history, in all parts of the world, religion is very much to bring people to the mode of goodness. Because from the mode of goodness, we can transcend the modes of material nature. In this particular verse, it is being explained in the purport how the modes of nature within material creation are always combined with one another. They're never pure. Pure ignorance, pure passion is not possible. They're always mixed up. It's just a question of which one is predominating. And pure goodness is transcendental. Vishuddha sattva, shuddha sattva. The spiritual world is called pure goodness. Because these modes of nature are always interacting with one another. And they determined our destiny, how we choose to respond to those interactions of the three modes of nature. Krishna goes into great detail here of how the symptoms and the results of people being influenced by various modes of nature. A person who's predominantly in the mode of goodness is honest, is peaceful, is religious, spiritually minded. And such a person is happy, more or less. A person in the mode of passion is very much eager to achieve fame, an acquisition of wealth. And such a person's symptoms are anxiety, distress, inevitably. And a person in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna, is a person who's too much accustomed by just oversleeping, intoxication, anger. Such a person becomes depressed and cruel to other people. Ignorance is the mode where we are unkind and cruel to others, according to this description. So if we analyze in our own life, we have some goodness. We have some passion. And we have some ignorance. And they're all manifesting through the mind. And yoga is, the purpose of yoga is to control the mind. Bandhuratmanastasya yenatmaivatmanatasya. That for the mind that is uncontrolled, it's the worst enemy. And the mind that is controlled is our best friend. And Krishna tells in Gita, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, that he's the best well-wishing friend of all living beings. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmanam. Nasochati Nakankshati Samasaraveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Oktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhritam sarvabhutanam kyatvamam shantim rakshati. We can become
peaceful when we recognize that Krishna is our true, best, well-wishing friend. Manmanabhavamadbhakto. It's very simple logic. If we always remember Krishna, if we become a devotee of Krishna, then we're always in contact, living in harmony with our best friend, and then our mind becomes our best friend. Otherwise, becomes our worst enemy. So therefore, in various religious paths, in order to create a foundational setting by which we can transcend the modes of nature, we're taught to choose the cultivation of the mode of goodness. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladutta and he wrote his prayers, he particularly selected to cite verses from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtanai nasta praeshu badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. That one who hears about Krishna, Krishna becomes so pleased, he reveals himself and cleanses the heart. And as the heart becomes cleansed, one develops a higher taste. And by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, Krishna within the heart begins to reveal himself and purify us. Tadara jastamo bhava loba dayasjaye. And then what happens is, by Krishna's grace, we become free from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada was specifically citing this verse because he had already explained in his prayers that all the people that I'm going to meet are so much under the influence of passion and ignorance. How will they understand your message? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, by his example, in the next verses, he's explaining how it's possible. Krishna tells in Gita, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmayama mupashata bhavo vyanatapasa putamad bhava magataha. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many great souls in the past have attained transcendental knowledge and thus attained love for me. To follow in the footsteps of great souls, how to become free from this attachment, fear, and anger, which are the qualities of the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. It's possible by taking shelter of Krishna and following in the footsteps of the great souls is the means by which we can find shelter in Krishna. Daivi yeshu kunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vame prapadyante maya me tadarandite. This material existence is very difficult to overcome. Why? Because this material existence is being conducted by the gunas, the three modes of material nature. They are such
powerful ropes that are dragging us through our mind and senses in so many ways, to speak so many words and engage in so many thoughts and so many activities and so many cravings and so many disappointments.
Who can possibly conquer it? Maya dyakshena prakriti sunyate sacharacharam. Krishna tells material nature is working under my direction.
Even the greatest rishis like Vishwamitra, who had perfected so many yogic powers through so many millenniums of tapasya,
still the modes of nature overcame them. But Krishna says, even though these three modes of material nature are practically impossible to overcome, one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond them. Samashritas, the Bhagavatam describes that this material existence, it's like a limitless ocean. Who can cross the ocean without a boat, without a plane, just by your own capacity to swim? And actually, this ocean of material existence is so endless, even if you have the best boat of this world, you'll never cross it. Inevitably, the best you can do is end up like the Titanic. Best you can do in this world. That was considered the best, safest ship ever made. And they were very proud. We don't need life vets so much because everything is so good and everything was so opulent and so nice. But it sank. So what to speak of swimming across this ocean of material existence? Even the best man-made situations, still you have to sink. Who doesn't die? Who doesn't suffer? It's inevitable. But this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam describes, if we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet,
then the entire ocean of material existence reduces to the size of the water contained within the hoof print of a calf. This is a graphic example. It doesn't even have the amount of water in a cow. A calf.
You know, I've heard this verse, so when I go to Govardhan Eco Village, or years ago when I used to take care of cows, I would often see when a calf is just born what the size of their hoof print is. It's so tiny and so sweet, and when it steps in the mud and fills with water, it's just like a few teaspoons.
By Krishna's grace, he can make the entire ocean of material existence, which has no bottom and no shores.
So easy to overcome. So we may be thinking, as devotees, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, maybe some decades, maybe some lifetimes. Why is it still so hard? Krishna's saying it's so easy. It becomes easy when you fully take shelter.
But when we're so conditioned by the modes of material nature and living by the dictations of these gunas,
we're still thinking, I'm the doer and I'm I and mine. And in that state of thinking, I and mine, we're not really in shelter yet. When we truly take shelter, it becomes
easy in the sense that Krishna preserves what we have and he carries what we lack. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana parupashate tesham nitya payuktanam yoga kshemam. Krishna is so kind. So the idea of Vaidhi Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti is to reorient the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act and live in such a way to be in harmony once again with the will of Krishna. And Krishna especially manifests himself through his devotees. And in this age, through his holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
By learning to take shelter of Krishna, we can let go of the false ego. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the story of Gajendra. He was unbelievably powerful. We have seen male elephants in this world, how powerful they are. I've personally witnessed male elephants wrap their trunk around a tree and just pull the tree out and throw it and just look around and just like challenging anybody to try to do anything to him. Very powerful, male elephants. When they get mad, they can knock over houses. But that's just a tiny little elephant in this age of Kali. When we hear about Kurukshetra and Bhima fighting elephants, those were Dwapara Yuga elephants. Many, many, many times bigger and more powerful than any elephant we see today. Well, Gajendra was an elephant in a heavenly world. What was his power? He was the king of the entire forest. Even the lions and the tigers, which are like Satya Yuga and heavenly lions and tigers, they would just offer their dandavats practically to Gajendra. So he had everything, and he had a wonderful family and wonderful just, I'm the provider, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, and because I have so much enjoyment myself, I can give so much enjoyment to everyone. But Abrahma Bhavanalo Kapunaravartuno Arjuna, Krishna tells, in the highest planet, lowest, anywhere in this material world, they're all places we have to suffer. Some devotees think, I've given my life to Krishna, why do I have to suffer? Why ask this question? Krishna already answers. The reason? As long as you're in the material world, with any speck of material consciousness, you have to suffer. Because everything's temporary, everything's changing. And the modes of material nature are affecting ourselves and affecting everyone around us. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam, even like in Satya Yuga, we're thinking, it must have been such a good time to live. It was, but Hiranyakashipu was around at that time. And Hiranyaksha was around at that time. Well, maybe Treta Yuga must have been a
really good place. But Ravana was then. And Kumbhakarna. So anytime, anywhere in this material existence, there's going to be a crocodile. And interestingly, with Gajendra, that crocodile was underwater. He could not see him. If he saw that crocodile, he probably wouldn't have gone in. But that crocodile, we can take it that he represents inevitable sufferings that will overcome and defeat us. Because material existence, the modes of nature are so strong. By their arrangement, as long as we're under their grips, we will be defeated and we will suffer. So perhaps that answers your question. Why, as devotees, do I have to suffer? And certain things are just beyond my control. It's Mrtyu Loka, it's a place of death. So Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the great literatures, they don't teach us just how to be happy and not suffer in this world. That's there. The more we're in the mode of goodness, the more happy we are in this world. But still we have to suffer. And still death is there for all our loved ones and ourselves. So we are taught how to transcend this world. And the only way to truly transcend this world is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here is Gajendra. He goes into the lake, and the lake seems to be such a pleasing place for him. Everything is just set up so perfectly by Maya. The water was such a good temperature. And it was like nectar. You don't see water so much in this world like this, but this is heavenly world. The water was fragrant like nectar. It had a taste like nectar. There were so many beautiful, fully blossomed lotus flowers all around. When we usually see lotus flowers, there's usually maybe one or two that are really nice, but the rest of them are kind of dying and getting brown and wilting, and there's only the middle part. Have you seen? But here all the lotus flowers are so fresh and so full. And everything was just so nice. And that water sprinkled by the fragrance of the pollen of the lotus flowers was so pleasing. And Gajendra wanted to share it with his loved ones. So he was drinking it in and spraying it upon his loved ones. And can you imagine how much they were enjoying? And he didn't see what was just underwater was the crocodile. And that crocodile bit into him at the least expected moment and would not let go. So even in the most pleasing situations, aparamabhavanaloka, what to speak of in this little world, whatever situation, however successful, however famous, however much money, however you pass your exams, however much your wife or husband cooperates with you or your children are not naughty, whatever situation happens, even if we think everything is so just right, we should know that we can't see, but just beneath the surface of everything in material existence is the crocodile of suffering. The crocodile of misery, disease. Adiatmaka, adibhotaka, adidaivaka. For Gajendra, that crocodile was kind of all three in one. He was another living being causing such pain to himself. Adiatmaka was the pain of his body. Adibhotaka, the pain caused by this crocodile. And the whole atmosphere just became totally miserable because he couldn't control it. In that state, he fought. He fought for such a long time. And sometimes it seemed he was winning, and sometimes it seemed he was losing, and sometimes it seemed like it was a tie. And the hope that he could win kept him going. Even when it seemed he was really losing, still there was the hope he could win. And he kept fighting and fighting and fighting until he became materially akinchana gocharam. He became exhausted. He understood, I'm finished. There's nothing I could do. I'm not the controller. I'm not the proprietor. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm on the verge of death. And I'm suffering so bad. And I'm seeing my family members, all my little children, my wives, everybody. They're crying and crying because they're seeing me suffer. And seeing them suffer is making me suffer more. And seeing me suffer more causes them more suffering. What can I do? There's no solution. It was in that state when he felt hopeless. Hopeless to solve the problem based on the illusion of Janasya Moham Yamaham Mameti, that I am I and mine. In that state, because he had associated in his previous life with great souls, Neha Bikramanaso Steep Rattyavayo Nividyate Swalpamaplasya Dharamasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Krishna tells in Gita, when we engage in his loving service, something wonderful happens. We invest in an account of our spiritual credit that is never lost. And investing in Krishna's service can protect us even from the most dangerous types of fear. Because in his previous life, he was a king, Indrajumna. And he cultivated devotion and he served sadhus. But somehow or other, due to neglect, and this is in a previous age where things were really taken seriously, he made some aparad to great souls. And therefore, everything became unmanifest, his devotion. And he took his next life. And all the pious credits he was enjoying like anything as an elephant. Gajendra. But it was in this state of total helplessness when he truly looked beyond himself. He lost all faith in how he could save himself, or how any of his loved ones or anyone in this material world could help him. And he found shelter in what he learned in the association of devotees. What did he learn? That Krishna is our ever-well-wishing supreme friend. And Krishna tells Abramabhupanaloka that one who takes shelter of me never comes back to this material world again.
sarva dharman paritya shyamam ekam shananam praja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masucha.
Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Fear is a very important ingredient of this world. As long as we are under the influence of the false ego, fear is all-pervading. The three modes of material nature, passion and ignorance, are so much constituted of fear. They affect us with that fear.
The mode of goodness, we become fearless when it brings us to the point of taking shelter of the Lord.
So Gajendra, he actually became happy in his Akinchita Gocharam, in his completely humbled, hopeless state. He took one of those lotus flowers, which before that he was trying to enjoy so much and give enjoyment to his family so much. And then he took that same lotus flower and held it up. Krishna, I'm yours. Whatever I have, whoever I am, I offer to you. And just in doing that, he felt happiness and shelter. And in that state, Krishna personally descended and delivered him from the crocodile. But then, after he delivered him from the crocodile, Gajendra, he had no more attachments. Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mama pashyata. When we take refuge of Krishna, we become free from attachment, fear, and anger. And when Krishna delivers us, when we take refuge in Krishna,
Ashlisya papadiratam panashtumam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed.
What does it mean to take shelter of Krishna?
Ultimately, Krishna, I'm yours.
If you want to embrace me, or if you want to trample on me, or if you want to make me brokenhearted by not being present before you, I'm yours, Krishna. My life is to serve you unconditionally. If that's our goal in life, and we're sincerely trying to follow what the great souls have given us to find shelter in Krishna, then ultimately Krishna will give us shelter. Srila Rupa Goswami told that qualities of surrender is our enthusiasm and our patience.
Yavashayatmaka buddhiyarekeha kurunandana buhushaka hinantascha buddhayovyavashayinam.
We must have determination. Without determination, we cannot perform tapasya.
Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sudyedhyasyam brahmasokyam tvanantam.
Tapasya is the path by which we can find the true happiness of Krishna. Tapasya doesn't just mean giving up things.
Rupa Goswami tells tapasya means to accept what's favorable to pleasing Krishna and to reject what's unfavorable for displeasing Krishna.
But that's very hard in this world because our conditioned false ego is being influenced by passion and ignorance, which is always trying to drag us down. How to live in this world?
Because in order to accomplish something, sometimes the mode of passion is there. We have to balance the mode of passion with the mode of goodness.
If we don't balance
passion with goodness by our own tapasya, by our own efforts, then by default, passion will degrade into the mode of ignorance. Because passion never stays as it is, because everything's mixed up. If we don't balance the mode of goodness with devotional service to transcend the modes of nature, then the mode of goodness will degrade into passion and ignorance by default. And by the mode of passion, if we're not balancing it with goodness, it will automatically go to ignorance, anger, depression, cruelty to others. It may be emotional cruelty, it may be physical cruelty, it may be economic cruelty, whatever it is. And we see in the world today how Kali Yuga things have been influenced. For the more cruel you are, the more arrogant and egoistic you are, the more popular you become. The more people seek shelter in you. And good people in the mode of goodness, what can they do? So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes in so many places that, especially in this particular chapter by Krishna in his teachings to Uddhava, that when one comes to the mode of goodness, then it's the springboard to devotional service. And what is devotional service? Taking complete shelter of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a practical way of applying that idea of shelter. Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yodha Dasa 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 Anudas. Krishna, I don't want to identify with any designation anywhere except my true designation. That I am eternally the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Kali Kale Namanube Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna has descended in his holy names to give us shelter. Kalera dosani de jajan asti heku mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambraje. In this age of Kali, an ocean of faults, where the modes of nature is just creating havoc in everyone's lives sooner or later, there's a benediction, param vijayate sri krishna sankirtana. That simply chanting Krishna's names, one can attain the perfection of liberation. But we must know that the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. And we take shelter of Krishna. We can't take shelter of the name of Krishna unless we really orient our life in a mood of service of Krishna. These four regulative principles that Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas gave us, in and of themselves, they're not transcendental. Because there are atheistic people who can do these four modes of nature. There's even some animals that do these four regulative principles. But they bring us to the mode of goodness. They sustain our consciousness in the mode of goodness, so that we're in a proper atmosphere of consciousness, wherein, with the association of devotees, we learn the art of taking shelter of the holy names of Krishna. Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya has taught that Krishna has appeared in his names with all of his potencies, with his
personal pastimes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said, just by taking shelter of the holy names, Krishna reveals within his names his pastimes, his eternal, transcendental, supremely beautiful form, his abode of Vrindavan, his associates. It's like the holy name. It opens the doors to the spiritual worlds. It opens the doors to the eternal treasures of our own soul's love, prema. But how to take shelter? If you're offending people, if you're giving in to the lower modes of nature, you can't really take shelter. So we have to live a life cultivating these principles of goodness, humility, honesty, morality. And from that stage, we understand that's mundane unless we're taking shelter of the nine processes of devotional service. That's what gives transcendence. That's what gives a direct connection to Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, he met some very learned, saintly people. And he asked them, what is the goal of life and the way to achieve it? And they said, by following Varnashram Dharma. And following Varnashram Dharma is very much what Krishna tells in Gita. It's very much prominent within the Vedic literatures. Varnashram Dharma. According to our particular nature, our qualities, we elevate ourselves by performing our duties with responsibility, according to religious principles. And that's good. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that that's only a stepping stone. From that point, we must follow these nine processes of devotional service. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasiro pujana sakijana atmani vedana. I was just speaking with His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, who is so mercifully glancing upon all of us at this moment. And I heard a recording of Srila Prabhupada. He was at New Vrindavan in 1976. And as I was listening to the recording, I could picture what it was like when he was speaking it. There were many, many people crowded into this temple room, and it was really hot, and I was there in the temple room listening to the class, watching the class. And I forgot all about the class, but when I listened to the recording at all, it was like, in modern terms, we would say it was like a rerun. It was like happening again. And Prabhupada was looking at the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And in the recording, Srila Prabhupada speaks. As he's looking at the deities, he's speaking to us. And for you, at this moment, you can take it that he's looking at Radha Gopinathan speaking to you. He said, Krishna is so kind. He's come to this remote village in America. He is so kind. He's come just to accept your service.
Krishna is not a doll. He was looking at the deities. This is not a doll. This is Krishna personally who has made himself present out of his mercy. But even if you think he's a doll, still, Krishna's all pervading. Krishna's everywhere. Still, he can accept your service in this form where you could see him, you could touch him, you could bathe him, you could dress him, you could cook for him, you could dance for him. Krishna is so kind. Coming to see the deity of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy names of the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, offering service to the Lord, becoming a friend to the Lord, surrendering our hearts to the Lord. This is bhakti. And it's in these nine processes of devotional service, and especially in this age, in hearing and chanting, that Krishna gives us shelter. And in one beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada tells that the sufferings of material existence are seen by a devotee as impetus to seek shelter and surrender. So sufferings will be there. It's guaranteed. And it's not me or some one of the brahmacharis or counselors guaranteeing. It's Krishna. Krishna guarantees material existence means dukalayam ashashvatam. There's pleasure. But the culmination of pleasure is suffering in this world. So it's guaranteed, 100% unconditional. But then Krishna says, Man mana bhavamad bhakto majishim nam namaskuru mami vaishashi satyam te prati jani priyosh. He also gives a 100 million, billion, trillion percent guarantee that if we take shelter of Krishna, we will attain Krishna and be happy forever. So we understand how the modes of material nature are to whatever extent we can. And we really try to live in such a way that we cultivate the mode of goodness and somehow or other resist with determination and with association of one another. We have to somehow or other resist the modes of passion and ignorance. All for one purpose. To serve Krishna. To be the servant of the servant of Krishna. With faith that Krishna has descended in his name. And if we take shelter of Krishna, yayatamam prapadyate tamstatai vipachamyam. As we seek shelter of Krishna, Krishna will give us shelter. So in whatever situation, the story of Gajendra is about you and me. We may not be as prominent as Gajendra, or we may think we are. But ultimately the crocodile's waiting for us. Don't be surprised. But at the same time, you don't have to be afraid. Bachahude mana shrinandanandana abhayat sharanadavindade. When we just engage our mind in serving Krishna, in worshipping Krishna, in taking shelter of Krishna, in being with devotees of Krishna, of chanting Krishna's names.
crocodiles there. And we know he's going to get us. But we're happy. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. A devotee's happy. And devotee, how can you be happy when you know this crocodile's about to eat you?
We're happy because, yes, we know the crocodile's there, but when we take shelter of Krishna, we understand that that crocodile is just helping me to love Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna. And ultimately, as we please Krishna, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It begins with knowledge. We cited this verse from the Gita, Vita Daga Bayakroda Manmayama Mupashita Bhavo Jnana Tapasa Bhutamad Bhava Mahakata. Being free from attachment, fear, and anger. How many of us are free from attachment, fear, and anger? Being absorbed in me, taking refuge in me. Many great souls in the past have attained transcendental knowledge of me. And thus they have attained love for me. The purpose of knowledge, Bahunam Dranmanamante, Gyanamam Pabadyate, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudhulava. The purpose of all knowledge is to take shelter of Krishna, to attain love for Krishna. And as we take shelter, Krishna protects us from fear. But the things that bring fear are an impetus to take shelter of Krishna, so we become free of fear. Because if we're intoxicated with a person who's intoxicated, there's fearful situations all around, but they don't even notice it. They're so just like that. So as we cultivate knowledge, we recognize Krishna's not saying anywhere, just be happy in this world and don't hurt anybody, it's all right. Even if you don't hurt anybody, people are going to hurt you. It's the nature of this place. Fearlessness. The greatest gift we can give to people in this world, prasanatma, which will make people happy, is to help them to rise above fear. And there's only one place that is above fear, in the shelter of the eternal love of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And this Harinam Sankirtan movement is that. To teach us a lifestyle, a culture, to create communities and expand in which people can help each other to find shelter of the supreme, ever well-wishing, loving friend of everyone who's forever within our heart by chanting his holy name. Thank you very much. Question?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Nice class. I could understand very clearly. It means once we come into Krishna consciousness, the formula is very clear for us. When difficulties, anxieties, problems will come, the only process is to take shelter of Krishna. Take the shelter of chanting the holy name and being the association of devotees. And we understand it. And we know the formula, and that's why we become relaxed also. And if I have a problem, I have to go to Krishna and I have to cry out and say, I am helpless and hopeless, please take care of me. But there when Maya traps in one way, is sometimes that intensity of surrender is not on 100% level for all the 365 days of our life. That surrender because of the mode of nature is constantly gone disturbing us. And sometimes the mode of nature of ignorance and passion is so high that the intensity of surrender is not on the peak. Any problem comes, I have my shelter in Krishna immediately. That thing is not there. And when Maya knows it, that our situation is a little bit shaky, that is the time Maya attacks. And when at that time when Maya attacks, because we are not having that 100% shelter and commitment of taking complete shelter of Krishna, that is not there. And because of that, we sometimes get shaken up. We know the process. We know the shelter is the only way. But at that time we get shaken up and we are completely bewildered, and in that situation we do some aparad, we do some complications, and then to come back again on the track, although we know the process, although we know the system, although we know everything, yet we are disturbed. How to see to it that 100% surrendered standard remains constantly without the three modes of material nature doesn't disturb us. And our process is very clear. Difficulties, only Krishna, nothing else. How to have that?
Yesterday, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, he gave a suitable analogy that if you go to a hospital, you don't expect the patients of the hospital to be in complete, perfect health. They're in a hospital to get better. Yes? So the Krishna consciousness movement is like a hospital to cure us of the disease of the false ego, to free us from the ropes of the three modes of material nature, to help us to attain that state of prasanatma or joy that is beyond even liberation, heavenly worlds, even beyond the yogic cities, the perfection of the pure health of the soul in loving devotion to Sri Radha Gopinath. So, your question essentially, it's why am I not immediately a pure Paramhamsa Vaishnav? Yes? The question you're asking, if you were in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan and you were suffering, this would be a really good question. But factually, the reason you're in this material world, you know, somehow or other, you know, we're not avatars who have descended. We're here because we have chosen to follow the dictations of this false ego. And it takes in now, and because of that, you know, there's so many implications and so many complications, and we have so many samskaras or so many impressions in our mind every time we've ever given into lust or envy or anger or greed or illusion. Anytime it leaves an impression on us, which affects the way we see the world, the way we react to circumstances. In other words, yes, we're devotees, but we're still conditioned souls. We have to be humble enough to recognize I'm still a conditioned soul.
but you've come to the hospital. And Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva, Six Goswamis, all of these great souls are our physicians. And together we're taking treatment and trying to impress upon each other the importance to remain faithful to the treatment. And when a disease is very profoundly chronic for many, many lifetimes, it takes some time. But according to the sincerity in which we follow, if according to the sincerity of our faith and our taking shelter, it could happen very rapidly also. But yes, right now it's the symptom of your conditioning and all of our conditioning. That sometimes we feel very empowered and we're tasting the sweetness of the holy name. And if something happens to us, we just, Krishna, I'm yours. But it's usually the things that we like. It's usually little problems. Yes, Krishna, I'm yours. But the big problems is, Krishna, why is this happening to me? That's the symptom of a conditioned soul. So I congratulate you, Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu. You're a conditioned soul who has come to Srila Prabhupada's hospital to get cured, like all the rest of us. But we understand in the association, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, by doing our sadhana regularly, by being with the people aspiring for pure bhakti, we understand what our goal is. And even when we go, when something happens and we don't completely take shelter of Krishna, we're quickly reminded that that's the solution. That's what we should be doing. And we keep cultivating according to our condition, according to our capacity. We keep cultivating the spirit of seeking shelter of Krishna. When we chant our rounds every day, we're practicing giving our hearts to Krishna in his names, taking shelter. When we come to the deities every day, we're practicing, Krishna, I'm yours. So all these different processes, the 9 processes of devotional service, are ways in which we can practice taking shelter of Krishna. And if we're doing sincere, then in due course of time, Krishna will give us that shelter. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mame vam yapapajante mayam etataram tite. Material nature, 3 modes, very powerful. We're not yet completely cured. But the practice, we have our sadhana, we have our devotional behavior. We help each other psychologically, emotionally, physically. We help each other in every way to give care so that with faith we carry on the practice of Krishna consciousness. And gradually we actually become healthy. And when we're in perfect health, then we're what you're saying you want to be. We're at every moment, Krishna, I'm yours. At every moment, whatever happens. Kamala dala chala jivana dala mala bajahun hari padani today. This whole material world, everything is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. But when we take shelter of Krishna, then we see everything in relation to Krishna. So your question is very nice.
I have to encapsulate your question into one sentence, it is, why am I not a Paramhamsa? Because unless you're a Paramhamsa, everything you just said is going to be. But if we follow in the footprints of the Paramhamsas, then Krishna gives us entrance into that state. But we have to face the reality. I'm not there yet. So we keep practicing. Adoshatata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. And we keep reinforcing each other's faith in the mercy of Krishna and the process Krishna has given us. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And that's an eternal truth. But it's not necessarily that you realize it immediately. In one place, Srila Prabhupada, I just read, he said that when we take to devotional service and we practice it as it is, we are, even if we're a beginning devotee, if we're practicing honestly, even a third-class beginner, neophyte, that we are imperceptibly liberated. That's very important. That means just by practicing, we're liberated by practicing carefully, but it's imperceptible. We haven't realized it yet. Because there's still so much of our conditionings and our egos that are still there. But by just continuing to live on that liberated platform of hearing and chanting and the association of devotees, living by moral principles and serving others in this way, gradually we realize Krishna in our hearts, in all hearts, and we realize His love. Does that answer your question? After that question, I'm afraid to ask any other for any. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So in the divine presence of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Gaur Nitai, Sri Gopal Ji, and all the assembled Vaishnavas, I have to make a very pleasant announcement. Two devotees from Vikroli congregation, Her Grace Darshana Dhanwade and Yogesh Mhatre, they have come here to solicit your blessings before entering the Grahastha Ashram. So Darshana Mataji has a diploma in mass media communication and is running an ad agency. She is connected to ISKCON since 2016 and is chanting 16 rounds since 2017. She is engaged in media services of GEV and also Nilachal Vedic Village. His Grace Yogesh Mhatre Prabhu, that is he. Okay, Hare Krishna. Can't see you among others, yeah. So Yogesh Prabhu has done his business management from Velinkar Institute of Management and is actively involved in family business for more than 9 years. He's connected with ISKCON since 2013 and is chanting 16 rounds since 2018. His services are book distribution, congregation programs, yatra coordination, kitchen service, etc. So these two wonderful devotees, they want to enter into Grahastha Ashram, and all of them, both of them are craving for your blessings. All the Vaishnava have gathered here, they are craving for your blessings. So please pray for them, please bless them, and ensure that they have very blissful wedding life to come in future. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. The Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education presents course on learning basic spoken Sanskrit in 10 days. It starts from 6th January 2019 to 15th of January 2019. BASE also presents